Why, yes, Jeremy, I have been paying attention to the League's Cup between what is it, the USL, I think, in the United States, MLS, and the what is it, Liga MX from Mexico.
So I know one of those.
Because I went to the matchup on Monday, but it was the Crew and Club America from Mexico was here. I'm not, I need to check where their
Wait, what was the
actual
name of
Club America.
them? From Mexico.
Correct, sir.
See, now they're stealing our names too. I honestly thought I misheard you. So what
Oh
is this
yeah, they're
League's Cup
based
thing?
out of Mexico City.
That's even weirder, to be completely honest. Club America is from Mexico City, like the capital city of Mexico.
Correct.
That's weird. Dang, wow.
Yep, they're the Eagles, evidently. Is there
Oh, they actually have a nickname.
yeah, I
Wow.
have a nickname. So quick wiki search here.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's a tournament. They just started it this year, and I guess they're just trying to be more like Europe, you know what I mean? Like, and have interconnectivity between soccer organizations throughout the US and Mexico.
Can't hurt.
You know, 'cause I mean there is all kinds of, you know, the domestic competitions. 'Cause what, there's UEFA Cup and shit, what's the bigger one?
What, overseas?
The Champions League.
Yeah, I was gonna say Champions League. All right.
So, well, UEFA is the step down. Like, if you don't get into the Champions League, like some of the mid-tier teams get into UEFA Cup after that. So, yeah, this is, I feel like this is something, an attempt to do something similar to that. And yeah, the Crew actually plays Minnesota United in the round of 16 tomorrow. I am not attending that because of an impending vacation. So do not have the time to get to that. I would have otherwise.
We got the go home for SmackDown too, so and Rampage. So, we get to that in a second, but I was just curious because so we talked about this a long time ago, that MLS package thing,
Oh, yeah.
and we don't get the Charlotte games here on regular TV anymore. We don't get local games.
It's all on Apple TV.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea. At least your locals should be on TV. Like, I should be able to see the Charlotte games no matter what, since I'm here in Charlotte.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is a perk to being a season ticket holder. That happens to be a free subscription to the MLS League Pass. I am paying a lot of money to get that's like a trinket thrown into the price tag of my tickets.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that should be a benefit. Yeah.
Yes. So and it I guess just because the wife ended up having to switch to an iPhone for fold phone suck reasons. We have Apple access again since I do not really have it. So
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, it's like Apple TV has had nothing appealing to me. I guess that Ted Lasso show's on there.
Oh my
I heard it's
gosh.
really good, but
Yeah, the in-laws, every time I see them, they're like, "Oh, you got to get it just for Ted Lasso." And it's just like, guys, I'm not keeping up with what I want to keep up with. I haven't watched an episode of Justified yet.
either have I,
You
and yeah.
know what? You know what I'm not going to watch ahead of of Justified? Ted Lasso.
Yeah, there's not a chance in hell. Like, because
Like,
I saw the cast for that Justified, and I was like, really? I'm like, okay, count me in. And then just, no, I've just not gotten to it. So thank God for DVRs and Hulu.
Yeah. So, since I have both of those, I am unconcerned with watching that at some juncture. Maybe if I get the chance, I'll start watching those on vacation, actually.
I finished Andor, I think, a couple weeks ago, and then I started Secret Invasion, and that show's a bore. So, I heard it's not good. I'm going to watch it anyways because I'm just watching it. Like, I keep trying to go and watch She-Hulk. And everything I see, not read, pictures I see, and it's people purposely posting the bad CGI, I'm like, no, this looks terrible. Just looks terrible. Like, without even, like, having an action shot, just the still frames of stuff. I'm like, is this done with 40 to 50 cents? Like, it's awful. But Secret Invasion, it looked pretty cool. And, like, Nick Fury finally gets his own show. I mean, sorta. But it's just so cheap, it drives me crazy. So.
No.
Well, it's all right. It's the same thing. I'm going to go a little rant for a second. But it's the same thing. Whenever you have a superhero, especially Marvel, and even DC does it too, you have a person under a mask. The second they're on screen, they take the mask off. And it's like, oh, so this, you've got Skrulls taking over for people, and they're always looking like human beings. And it's like, wait, why? And then they put up a little quick, well, you know, you have to maintain your physical appearance so that you don't slip up. And I'm like, oh, cheap. Whatever.
Like, at least it's cover, you know? That's better than some.
Like, yeah, I mean, I only got through the first episode. I was just kind of bored. And have you watched it yet?
No. Similar to you, I finished Andor, but ahead of anything else is the... Is The Mandalorian, even though I believe we've talked about it on this show anyway, that most people haven't liked it. But I
liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first two episodes quite a bit myself. So I didn't get any further than that. But Secret Invasion on the list.
It's only six episodes, so I should just not be lazy and just watch them all because it's already over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I also have an episode of Star Wars Visions to watch, too.
I have yet to watch that. I need to utilize Disney Plus more.
The art styles in all of those Visions are outstanding. That the very first one, I'm like, okay, you've just, like, why did you do this one first? It was like an old Japanese black and white... like Shogun era Star Wars story, and it's just like, oh my god, like it was so perfect. And it was the best one of that first season. It's just worth it. But yeah, all the art styles that all the different kind of companies from around the world employ is kind of interesting, and I love that aspect of things.
Very cool. Yeah, I remember you telling me about this before, and I just again like.
Yeah, there's so much time.
Especially with football coming up, my free time is done. Between wrestling and football, forget it. Like college especially, you know, Sunday, Monday, whatever. But college, like, I'm done this year. I'm all in on the Lions winning the Super Bowl this year. I think I told you. I actually bought Sunday ticket.
Oh.
So, yeah. They better not come out of the gates going 0-6 again. I'm going to freak out.
Oh, actual hope from a Lions fan.
Legitimately, and I'm being dead serious, there is no reason they shouldn't win that division. Not one reason.
Getting Aaron Rodgers out the division, that's going to be helpful.
They were trash with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we're not going down this rabbit hole again, but no. They were trash with Aaron Rodgers. Minnesota kept winning games they had no business winning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then who's the other team? The Bears?
The Bears.
Justin Fields is their quarterback? Don't worry about it. I don't sweat that at all. So, yeah, it just – there is no reason they shouldn't sweep the division. And then – so that's what, five games?
Six.
Six. So that's six games. I don't know why I came up with an odd number. So that's six games, and then just win three more. No.
Three more is nine. Yeah, it's been 10. It's mostly been 10 wins to get in recently. So, and especially with the extra, game that started last year with 17 games, I think someone that was 9-8 got in. Because the Steelers did have an outside shot at it getting in there. But yeah, 10's probably a better place to feel a little more comfortable about a playoff spot. But also, yeah, they sweep the division. You're only looking for four more wins still, which isn't really that bad, you know. Mm-hmm. Not a tall order.
Yeah. So,
I'm not sure if I'm irrationally excited or genuinely excited about Steelers, so.
I don't know what to make of them at all in that division too. Ravens. If Jackson and OBJ, right? OBJ's there now, right?
Correct. Yeah.
If they can get together. I mean,
team that I'm least worried about is the Browns. Everyone else, interesting.
I forgot about the Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals will probably do great. They've been really good the last couple of years, and they've locked up most of their defenders because their defense has been, you know, sneaky good, even though people talk about the offense most of the time. Yeah. them, still concerned about them. The offense is going to be great. I think the offense is still probably better than the defense, but the defense is pretty damn good. Ravens, if the Steelers actually have been one of the few teams they've actually had better luck against Lamar Jackson than they've had against his backups, which is the strangest thing to say. They've generally been able to contain him. So, but Todd Huntley last year, nope, couldn't contain him for whatever goddamn reason.
God, that name sounds familiar. Who the hell did he play for?
Utah, I believe.
Oh, it's a very Utah style name.
probably not the race that you're thinking though.
Well, hey, listen, that Utah is a weird state. I mean, obviously. Their universities, their football teams are even stranger. They've got a goofy mix of races, ethnicities, whatever, on those teams. Somehow, every Tongan or Samoan goes to those schools.
There are a lot of them at both of those schools.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tua Lalaloas on those teams, and it's like, what are you thinking? Like,
they wanted to come to the U.S., but they didn't want to be in a big city somewhere, so they decided on one of those places.
But it's cold. You're coming from a climate that's not, like, oof. And this isn't like a Florida kid going to Michigan. This is like you're in the Pacific, going to the mountains. And by the way, you're not allowed to have sex, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to do anything fun, except play football. Yeah, that sounds good, boss. Are you out of your mind?
Shockingly, some people would prefer that. I don't know why, but it does occasionally happen.
Makes no sense at all. It's like, I guess it is like that point in life, where like we're getting older, and it's like, that doesn't make any sense. And that would just make no sense at any age for me.
So,
you want to go see a movie? Sure, what do you want to see? Oppenheimer. Oh, no, I can't go see that one. Why? It's rated R. I heard that they have vulgar language and there's nudity. I'm like, oh, you clearly weren't born in the 80s. Because those were the best movies. So, I did see that last week, too. Talk about a laugh riot of a movie. Whew. All six laughs that are in that deeply dark and depressing movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's really good. I came out of Mission Impossible, and I was like, oh, I wonder what happens in Oppenheimer. I'm like, no, thank you. That's good. I don't need to watch a documentary about the Holocaust either. Like, it's, well, although I guess I did listen to a hardcore history about that time period. I do find that more appealing for some reason or another.
Hey, listen, the movie is excellent. It really is. And it's 3 hours long. You don't feel it until the third act. Because how it's paced is, you know, you got like a little bit of development with him. And then once it comes to the fact that he's going to be joining the Manhattan Project, and it races. Because it's supposed to simulate, you know, it's a race against time. They've got to beat the Germans. They've got to beat Russia. They got to beat all these people. So it's quick, 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 quick. So many people introduced. You're bouncing all over. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is way too much. And then the bomb goes off. And then it just slows to a crawl. And it's about the rest of his life and all, like, the long play of his life. And it's just good.
Oh,
and you see parallels between things, roundabouts, like it's, yeah. And the bomb, I mean, I don't know if you've read anything about it, but like they actually simulated a small explosion for the movie.
Oh,
which is just insanity. So I've never been in a movie theater where it, like, because like you go through the whole bomb goes off, it is dead silent after it goes off. Because it took 30 seconds for the sound to catch up to where they were.
Oh.
So you're sitting in this movie theater in dead silence.
Did they actually do the full 30 seconds?
30 seconds. And even though you know it's coming, it still scares you. Because it is loud. And I mean loud. So it's just, the acting, of course, is great. And
that was another one where it's just like a murderer's row of people.
Oh my God, like Robert Downey Jr.'s in it, and I'm like, why are we covering this in the movie? It didn't really make sense until the end. And you're like, oh, okay. So, like, because Nolan likes to play with time and like story structure and jump all over the place. I mean, Christ, you ever seen Memento, for God's sake? You know, so he loves doing that stuff.
Right.
And yeah, just really good, solid stuff. And no, I did not go see Barbie. Not that I'm against it, but I'm just going to wait for it to be on TV. Like, I know I don't need to see it in the theater.
So. Yeah, that was one where I'm like, I guess I'm just not generally interested here, people. Like.
No, they showed a preview for it before The Flash or Mission Impossible, one of the two. And I just saw the preview. I'm like, that looks cool. Like, set design and all that was really sweet.
No. Oh.
And then I guess she goes to the real world, and I just went, oh. Well, never mind. But I've heard it's good. So,
yeah.
When it comes on TV, I'll give it a chance. But no, I'm not buying into the stupid-ass marketing of go see them both on the same day. Get the fuck out of here. I spent $70 to go see two movies. No. No.
That's a lot of popcorn to eat.
Ugh. Man, that Regal popcorn blows away the AMC popcorn. Holy shit, it doesn't even come close to the quality. So...
I guess I have not really compared popcorns before.
Oh yeah, there's the definite difference. AMC's is already ready. Regal usually is making it right there. So that's about it. But yeah, so Oppenheimer, and I don't know the next time I'll see a movie. Probably that Creator movie. I don't know if you saw the preview for that.
Oh, no.
Like, there's a war between... It's by the guy who made Rogue One, the Star Wars movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's about AI... The story of the preview is AI sets off an atomic bomb in L.A. to start a war between machines and humans.
Oh, okay, yeah, we got the preview for that at Mission Impossible.
Did that not look insane?
It looked pretty bonkers.
I had never heard of this movie. I was like, I'm just sitting there. I have goosebumps. Like, what is this? I can't wait to see that. Now, I know it comes out next month, so I'm like, sweet, I am there. So,
it's yeah.
Probably not going to be that good, but that preview is incredible.
Considering my movie track record this year, I'm not going to count myself in on watching that one.
No, that'll be one.
It's been worse than my TV watching habits.
I still like going to the theater when it's worth it. And that's why I just, unfortunately, Barbie to me is not worth the money. But, like, big movies, big original stuff, sure. I mean, and I also know I'm not the demographic for Barbie, by the way.
No.
Because I don't own anything pink, I don't think. And my Barbie dolls were like a Wonder Woman action figure. So, you know what I mean? Or Scarlet, Lady J, Baroness, Princess Leia, that sort of stuff. So
I do have a pink shirt upstairs, a dress shirt. And I do believe I also have a pink Hawaiian shirt with woodpeckers on it.
That's passable.
Yeah, it's an old Navy special. I liked it.
I also don't understand why people dress up to go to a movie anyways. Like, you're just sitting there in the dark.
I kind of dress for comfort when I go there. And I always cover my... I never wear sandals there because movie theaters are always too cold. So I always wear shoes.
That is never a problem for me. I will wear sandals in the winter because I'm too warm. So if it's not 50, it's too hot. So, yeah. But speaking of hot... I guess we should talk about wrestling.
Boy, no. But, I mean, we could have transitioned when we were talking about TV watching habits. This podcast and watching wrestling consumes a lot of time.
It does. And let's just start real quick with AAA so we can get that out of the way. Dude, those times I sent you on the mask ripping, those were legitimate. I rewound it on YouTube.
Oh.
And timed it out. That's a real timestamp.
Because what was it?
It was a minute 20 for QT Marshall and Penta. And what was the other one? 10 seconds?
Oh, I think so.
I was pretty happy with that text. I admire Dominic Mysterio's commitment to not getting in better shape.
Although, funny enough, actually looks like he's working out now.
Yeah, I know, fucker. So.
Yep. I was just like, oh, well, he just made that joke like 3 months too late at least.
Well, I don't see it anymore. It must have been my old text messages. I had to put a new... New record. 5 seconds into the match, Roosh tears off Laparca's mask. That was a legit 5 seconds he ripped his mask open.
Yes. I have started making a running joke of that on Twitter about the mask ripping. And the fact that this week on Dynamite, Penta got to keep his mask on the whole match. Like, what the fuck's up with that?
Okay, so I'm watching that match going, I'm bored. Right off the bat, I'm bored. Oh, good, more weapons. Okay, why are they having a death match all of a sudden? Like, there's a blood feud after one match?
Okay. Yeah, in general, I feel like they've needed to go... Like, AEW's the... worse about it, of course, because they are half a deathmatch promotion.
They're TNA. That's what this is. Your first match is a death match. What do you do for a blow-off? Oh, let's have a regular match. What? Now we're having a parking lot brawl. Okay. Like, it... Sorry. It just... I said this last week. Moxley's getting worse as a wrestler every week. It's the same tired shit. We just saw Was it 2 weeks ago, right? Was Blood and Guts, right?
Yep.
Tax. Weapons. Blah, blah, blah. This and this. And it's like, it's always the same thing. You know, it was a barbed wire board this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. The only part that cracked me up was that you have a death match and Moxley didn't bleed. Of all people, Trent Beretta busted open. That cracked me up. I was like, that's almost like Moxley, like, ah, the hell with you guys, see? But no, it's just boring. By now, it's boring, because it happens every week. Someone bleeds every week. Multiple segments now.
Yeah, I haven't really kept track of that, no, but it is, if it isn't that frequently, it's too frequently. You know, like you said, like it at most it's been 2 weeks. Because I'm trying to remember if there was any type of death match last week, and I can't really remember. I don't feel like it, but I could be wrong.
Even without a death match, someone bleeds in this promotion.
Oh yeah.
So I know Moxley's weak excuse is like, you know, we're out here pretending we're punching each other and no one bleeds. Yeah.
Oh.
That's why it's like...
Then, I mean, it is not every UFC match. There is not blood in every UFC match.
Yeah. It's just like a bruised ego when someone calls it out. So, but yeah, it just... I didn't care Trent won. My favorite part of that entire match was Chuck Taylor coming out going, well, we can see this didn't settle a goddamn thing. And I'm like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense, actually. He got the swear finally on TV, so I'm sure he was happy about that. I was like, yeah, this match was proved nothing if you're just going to fight afterwards.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, go into six-man match.
Yeah, the parking lot brawl.
The only thing that it does is get, what's his name? Penta out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Rey Fénix, by the way? Is he hurt? Again?
I don't think so. I feel like he was on, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
Because I thought Penta went with, was it Commander last week?
Are you going to make me look up old results now here?
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
So, okay.
But I don't think it was Ray. Maybe it was. But, you know, done. Like, I know, like, we used to cry foul when someone didn't bleed in Hell in a Cell, which I do believe that's the one that they should make an exception for. Or Elimination Chamber being smacked with the chains, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're Brock Lesnar and you want to throw your head into an exposed, you know, turnbuckle, then sure. but on the slim, no. Like, just it doesn't have to happen until it does, and then it's like, uh-oh, like this is real. That shouldn't happen. You know, not the. Glaring guffaws of, oh, he's cut open again. Okay. He's in so much danger of being bleeding every week. Dustin Rhodes was another one that used to do that. He'd bleed every week, too. He'd bleed like the proverbial stuck pig. I got that word out, by the way. He's like, okay, so what? But,
so did you find yeah, it was last week. Because he was in the tag team match because it was Blackpool Combat Club versus the Lucha Brothers versus Best Friends.
Yeah.
So I guess I didn't even think of the fact that this singles match was derivative of last week's match to start with.
Well, that I did know. But I just figured that something happened. But all right. But yeah, I think isn't the end game for this that Moxley's going to take on Orange Cassidy at All Out, or is it All In? These bastards.
All In is in first. London.
Yes, the biggest pro wrestling show of all time. I heard that last night too.
Oh boy,
Tony Khan. All right, besides the obvious reading a statement like he's being held hostage.
My employees are the best. Thank you for creating memories these last 200 episodes.
Yeah. As long as those memories don't include Cody doing anything except getting his ass kicked without showing his face. That killed me. I was like, they're going to seriously cut out Cody Rhodes for all this? Oh, there he is. Oh, I see what we're doing here. But that guy is so butthurt whenever Triple H or WWE says something about him.
Oh my gosh, I just read that an article about Triple H calling them a secondary promotion.
What do you want? They are. It's not that they're not successful, mind you.
Right.
Just what does everyone say if there's a brawl in a hockey game or a brawl in and all of a sudden a WWE match broke out or WWF match, as they're still calling it? Oh. Not one person's go, oh, an AEW match broke out. No, because WWE is a standard. They're number one and they're the biggest in the world. Like, there's just no way around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've talked about that. It would really take an epic collapse on WWE's part. Some, you know, I think that we've gone beyond the territory's gonna fold time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and the WWE would just have to be in really bad hands. Now, I'm still of the mindset that Vince at least has a say in things, but Triple H is mostly in charge.
Well, we'll see how that goes. So, I mean, you've seen all the Vince news, right?
No.
Okay. So, Vince had spinal surgery, and he's out. He's out.
Oh.
And then, during their earnings call, it was revealed that on July 17th, the feds raided his house.
How is... For like, Google, you are letting me down.
Yeah, they told you the end of Sheeta and Tony Storm, but yeah, they're not telling you that. Yeah. So it's all part of... I mean, this... It's another one of these like weird government things where, of course, they're like, you know, yes, he probably broke some laws, but it's like, is it also... any worse, or is it any more worse, is how you'd say that, than what like any corporate entity does any day of the week? You know, shifting money around, just blatantly lying and whatever else. So, yeah, so he is,
the difference is usually in the getting caught part.
That's true.
That is the difference. Does it happen everywhere? Probably.
I guarantee it.
The game is just to not get caught.
Yeah, dummy.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, all this unraveled because someone's friend wouldn't shut up, which just kills me. But
and that's usually what ends up happening.
Yeah. But yeah, so he apparently is not like involved in creative right now. Because while he's recovering, yes, it was major. I mean, he's also 70-something years old. And then he apparently sent out, like, a form email to everybody and blah, 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 and all this. So it's kind of like, all right, it's back to Triple H's ball again.
Okay. Well, then, and that's fine. We've talked about it a bunch, too, this one. They're in better hands with Triple H than they are with Vince. Is Triple H perfect? Nope. Is he better than Vince? 100%.
Yeah. I was like little snippets because they changed how they do stuff. Like Brian Alvarez, he had a whole thing about how WWE is actually better off without Vince and they don't need him anymore. And he actually broke down numbers, he broke down ratings, he broke down all this stuff, and it's like he made a pretty compelling case for WWE, and like especially Endeavor, right? Is that that's
the company, right? Yes, yeah, that's the group that
for
bought
them to be like, we don't need you. It's not your company anymore. So peace the fuck out, you know? Like,
yeah,
they won't, mind you. But, yeah, he's not necessary, and it'd be nice to see a creative flow because I don't know, I'm sure if you and Chris talked about Monday's show was kind of up and down. I know we jumped away from AEW, but whatever. So it's not their peak anyways. So.
Well, we'll get back to them too, since we didn't talk about the main event part. But let's follow this rabbit hole for the time being. And we didn't really talk about Raw itself because we did kind of talk about Raw by way of SummerSlam preview.
Yeah.
So... yeah, so I mean, I guess most of Raw was SummerSlam preview kind of territory. And of course, that's the one report that I took down, and you're going to fucking ask about it, too.
Well, we don't have to go over it, because I know you and Chris probably went over some stuff. But, like, the Cody Brock stuff didn't make any sense to me. Brock goes, you tell he's pissed at the crowd, too, which I love the fact Brock Lesnar has carte blanche to act any way he wants. And I know that probably everyone's like, that's not fair. It's not fair. Doesn't matter. He brings in more money than everybody else does. Maybe Roman. Like, approvable point of Roman.
Okay? Yeah, but I would imagine that Roman's doing quite well for himself.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, bringing in money for the company. Like, because they said they added Roman on accident to that Mexico City show. They announced them for being there, and they sold like 10,000 extra tickets or something ridiculous. So they're like, hey, buddy, we need your Mexico City, or they're going to riot. So, you know, so he pushed his tickets. Cena still does. Forgot him.
But
Brock just comes out and goes, you shake my hand, we're all good. And I'll respect you. Cody comes out, shakes his hand, and then, you know, he does the Cody stuff, which is fine. And I like that aspect of it, that Cody got in his head somehow. And Brock, like, gave him the shoulder. Like not breaking character, but...
No.
Eliciting emotion from him, but she didn't have. And then Cody attacks him from behind and gets his ass kicked. I'm like, what just happened? The segment should have just ended.
The attack part didn't necessarily need to happen.
Well, if you're going to attack somebody, then you're going to get your ass kicked. I'm like, okay.
Cody has looked pretty weak the whole feud. And Cody's in that size area where I think Seth Rollins might be around the same weight, but he's taller.
Yeah,
that helps him out a bit to not look as small against someone like, because, I mean, I know that Brock Lesnar's tall, but he's also not, like, he's only quote-unquote 6'5", you know? When you have other people that are 7 foot or, you know, because even what, Angelo Dawkins is 6'8 or something in that area, like, I know that he's not one of the main event guys, obviously. What, Damian Priest is 6'8"? He's actually taller than Lesnar. So, I mean, Lesnar he's a beast, obviously, but he's not the tallest guy on the roster. So, but yeah, Cody being a little bit shorter and just kind of more of a stocky build, it just looks like it looks like a worse matchup than it does, it should, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And then, since you mentioned him, but the end of the show, like, to me, it just seemed like there was just like two creative teams working on this, and one was doing something goofy before the show, and I was like, hey, we got to write something, and it's like they've specifically got back to the point where Judgment Day is all for one, one for all, right? And they've done subtle hints still of Damian Priest cashing in. And I'm just confounded by the end because it made sense what he was going to do. But it didn't make sense in the story they're telling. So,
oh,
like, they're all supposed to be a family. They're all supposed to be close. They're all reconciled, right? I'm not going to do anything with Seth until you get your shot at him. All right, bro, thank you. I got you, man. Hug it out, you know? And then he looked at the – he has always looked at the briefcase, and then finally he's like – and very smart, he gave his finisher cash in, which I don't know if that's ever been in a tag match before, but hey, why not?
That would be a creative way to go about things at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening in this situation. Love the concept, though.
Yeah, but and then Finn, like being kind of like, wait a second, you actually sympathize with Finn, like, well, wait a second, he did say he wasn't going to, and then Finn goes, yeah, do it. So Finn's showing he's the bigger man, even though he delayed, because he rightfully should.
Oh.
And then it's like, well, no. I guess they want to build a drama for Saturday and that Damian could still cash in anyways, which I get, but I guess I'm like my tastes, I like it. I like this being linear is better.
Oh,
so
yeah. Him not even thinking about the cash in just should have been bypassed altogether.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to be there because, you know, they've already established they're all going to be all around for Seth.
Oh, so, yeah.
And I still like the idea because they said Roman is not advertised for the next three pay-per-views or PLEs.
Yeah.
No payback.
Finally, you know it's official when everyone calls them premium live events in their promos now.
And honestly, even like other places talking about it as premium live events now. Instead of pay-per-views.
Oh, really?
It's like, oh yeah, I've seen like news articles and that, like at Sports Illustrated talking about it, like that sort of stuff.
Just about wrestling though?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought there were other contexts that people were calling them premium live events.
No.
Okay.
Whatever. That's just their verbiage. You know, it's like calling WWF still. It's just enough. I give in. But pay-per-view just rolls off the tongue. Premium live event doesn't. Nor does PLE.
Oh, so, no. PPV is a better acronym. Is that what that is?
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So. Yes. But no, I just... With Roman not being advertised for the next three pay-per-view... God damn it. For not being advertised for the next three events, right? It kind of makes you think Jay's winning. Because you can't just have him off the next three. I mean, including Survivor Series. Like, holy crap.
That would be a bit too long.
Right. And then my thing is, and this is a matter of just me only. It's not anything he's done. I just don't see Jay Uso as, like, the head company guy. You know, and I know that's not how it works anymore because it's a different business model. I just don't see him as like a face of WWE to win the title and keep the title for that matter. And that's why I still think like him winning, if it happens, should mean Damian Priest cashes in the same night.
I believe Chris has floated that potentially happening, which. Okay. You know, that would be something else, you know, to finally have the tribal chief beaten and then the person that actually beats him loses almost immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's conceivable that that could happen because since that's going to be the main event, you could have... Multiple people with the Money in the Bank briefcase have attempted to cash in and have something go awry. There could be a save on someone's part you know, on Seth Rollins' part that ends up preventing a true cash-in on Seth earlier in the show.
Yeah.
That leads Damian Priest to, you know, still being available to take advantage of tribal combat. And, I mean, that's the other reason. Yeah. Just because that will be a weapon-style match, I'm assuming, or at least anything-goes kind of match. Chris and I talked about it. They haven't defined the rules, still haven't defined the rules. Maybe they will at SmackDown tomorrow.
It just sounds like there's a street fight, but it's always going to be branded something else with them.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope, and I don't think this will happen. I'm just going to put it out there anyways. I don't know much about Samoan culture and like what their weapons are.
Come on, you saw Hobbs and Shaw. That was all true to life.
I say that too. There was all guns. So that's not going to happen. But
it wasn't all guns. Remember, they had to like get all the wooden weapons was it mom's wall or grandma's wall?
Those were wooden weapons. Oh, yeah, they were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what we were laughing at because they were using these fucking sticks going against guys with machine guns. That's right.
Yeah, that's why they had to disable the machine guns, sir. So
God, that movie's so stupid. It was great. It's so dumb.
So that they could use the wooden weapons and take advantage.
Yes. I forgot about that because of The Rock pulling a helicopter by a chain. And for anyone who hasn't seen it, it was like, what? Yeah, that really happened.
Yeah, spoiler alert for a movie that's multiple years old.
Yeah. But, so I hope it's not some dumb gimmick thing. I don't think it's going to be. It's just, hope not, because it's stupid. Because the match doesn't need a gimmick like this. It's just like, you know, Souls get involved. I'm going to guess Jimmy's coming back. And I do wonder, because the plan is Roman and Cody at WrestleMania still. All right. To get there, Roman's got to keep the title. Because beating Roman after he wins it back at Royal Rumble, I mean, that's always been like the weakest championship win. Hey, I just won the title back. And you lose it 2 months later. Like, that's not the cause for celebration. But the Usos, in an interview with Ariel Helwani, had always said their ultimate goal was to have a match against each other on WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
So there could be, like, from that, and this is just me obviously creating my own thing, fantasy booking, it could be Jimmy somehow cost Jay even on accident. And, tensions boil over. And then, say the Rumble, Jay's going to win, and Jimmy costs him it. And then they have a match at WrestleMania, so that way they're preoccupied. And that way Cody's still in there. You know, just a real quick, simple thing like that.
Yeah, that is an available option, should they choose to go that route.
Yeah, I mean, not like your usual WWE, oh my God, you put him out for 6 months. But just like, man, we got problems. And I just beat it out, you know? But I know most brother-brother matches don't go over well either. So.
No, not terribly looking for, like, of the options that we've talked about, that is kind of down there on my options list.
Yeah, for sure. But then Raw also had those positives with that Shayna and Ronda Rousey thing. Holy God, that was good. Both of those segments.
Yeah, it almost made me care about this feud.
It very much made me care about this feud. And then to find out that Paul Heyman and Jeremy Borash were involved, and I went, okay.
That checks out.
How did the creepy announcer dude from TNA become this production master? And I am not joking in any sense. A production fucking master. His shit is great.
Yeah, I don't know. He loves wrestling. Like, I think he's made that very clear, honestly, over the years, and hard to disagree with him. You know?
Yeah.
It has been impressive. Anything that his name has been remotely attached to it has been a blast in every way.
Yeah, no doubt. I was trying to figure out if he had anything to do with that Creed's thing on NXT. Because, and I know we're jumping all over this week, but there's just so much going on.
And so much wrestling.
Yeah, well, we had our 2 second Triple H on Cock, but it's just, it was as if they were like, listen, this is stupid, so let's make it even hammier. It was clear as day they weren't on the beach. I'm like, are they really trying to convince us? And then when they started switching backgrounds, that cracked me up. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep, they're doing that old dumb gimmick.
Yeah, and but that's also the most exuberance, like energy I've seen from Brutus the entire time. Like, you just need a couple weeks off to like figure shit out. Like, all right, cool.
I think he was moving in the right direction, but yeah, that has definitely been his best segment so far.
Yeah.
Hands down,
So,
so.
and I mean, that segment sucked anyways, by the way. So, let's think of this practically, okay? And I know it's NXT, but hey, everyone, come out to the ring. We're gonna take your mask off. Okay. Why would I go along with that if I know you're gonna expose me? Like,
And
I
why
know
did they
it's
look disgusted with everyone after they took their mask off? Like,
exactly. I guess because it wasn't who they thought it was,
you're
you know.
ugly.
But I'm just like,
UGLOY.
I can't stand the schism. It just gets worse every week. Even though Joe Gacy's appearance has changed for the better, in all honesty, he looks like a David Koresh kind of type with shorter hair, or Jim Jones, all that stuff. And yeah, just, ugh. Christ. Anytime they're on, I don't care. I don't care. I hate their stupid music. Those $5 masks.
It's been one of those ones where I continue to question whether the dyad is actually leaving NXT. It feels like they should have left like a year ago at this point, quite frankly. So.
Wasn't the Dyad or the Grizzled Young Veterans joining Schism supposed to make their career better? You know, he was going to take them off, give them guidance, and get them to the promised land.
Oh, yeah, and they haven't been remotely close to the tag team championships
No.
at all.
No. They were in a championship match at one point, I believe.
I feel
But
like they might have been in a triple threat match or something
yeah,
of the
exactly.
sort.
And it's yeah, because didn't somebody else like get involved, and that's why,
I believe so.
something like that. But it's also like I used to like the Grizzled Young Veterans. I can't stand them now. They don't look like they even care. Maybe that's just the demeanor they're supposed to have being part of Schism, but ugh. And
Hey, yeah.
at least they're trying to get out of it.
Not this
So.
not the strongest part of NXT this week for sure.
No. We'll just stick with NXT, screw it. Bron Breakker being a total dick to Von Wagner, saying if that picture with your skull cracked open is the worst thing to happen to you, don't get in the ring with me. I was like, I knew someone was going to use those pictures against him. God damn, he went straight for the jugular. So.
Mr. Steiner showing that he has the chops to play both sides of the field here, and
Yeah.
is probably a better heel than babyface, which is quite a statement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his uncle was a much better heel than he was a face. His dad was a much better face than he was a heel, though. So,
Oh. Right.
yeah. Old Rick Steiner, when he first popped up as a babyface, God, he was so sympathetic. It was great. The guy fall in love with a woman, even though she was a, you know, damn Jezebel.
But yeah, he was almost George the Animal Steals level presented stupid.
Yeah. He really was, with like an amazing athletic background.
So, oh, yeah.
You know. But no, like NXT, like the Thea Hale stuff, okay, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Because Chris and I did not talk about the premium live event at all. We did not talk about Great American Bash at all.
Oh, well, that match wasn't good, but you kind of figured as soon as Andre Chase had a towel, I was like, oh, all right, you already see what the ending is. That whole show to me was a one match show, and that one match delivered. That main event was insane.
Yes, Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov are both very good at what we like to call professional wrestling.
Yeah.
They are both good on the mic and good in the ring.
And like my thing was watching that match. That was an Ilya Dragunov match. And he, I almost said carried, but that's the wrong word. He brought along Carmelo. I was like, this is how we're doing this. That's got to be Carmelo's most intense and physical match since he's been in NXT. He didn't skip a beat. He sold the stuff like, I don't like this. Like, yeah, you shouldn't. So, Ace's job there. And then just, you know, the end got messed up a little bit, so that kind of sucked. But, I think Trick was supposed to hit him. Trick hitting him with the title was supposed to be more evident than what it was.
I liked it being more subtle, like it ended up happening. Because it didn't give it the outright cheating, but it still gave Dragunov the pass to lose the match and the anger to still want to whoop Trick Williams next.
Yeah.
And that psycho being the last one to be talking on NXT's weekly show this week.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, and that's why I think Dragunov may be able to work. Because, yes, he's smaller, but that intensity, and then, like, when he's not intense like that, like, go back to last week, and Carmelo comes up to him, he's like, hey, he's going to call you out. And he just talks like a rational, no, I'm sorry, not rational, he talks like a streamlined person.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, well, I would hope he doesn't do that, because if he does that, I'm going to go out to the ring, and I have to take care of him, and you're going to have to pick up your friend in all the little pieces. So he should really, you know, reconsider what he's about to do. And then all of a sudden, his next promo is like, I'm not saying like, rawr, 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 rawr. He's like, this is the same dude? So it's like there's a range there, but it's all intense, and it's all kind of psycho, and it just works. And it's the old adage of a finisher. The more simplistic a finisher is, the better. All he does is jump and forearm you in the mouth. And it's like, he hits that, you're done. And it's great.
So, yeah, his move variation is not very high.
Nope. He doesn't need to be.
You could go with the old five moves of doom was what people were pissy about with John Cena. I'm not even sure if you have five moves from Dragunov. It's all jumping forearm, and it's like five different styles of jumping forearm.
Yeah, or just pounding you. Oh, he has the running headbutt thing. That's always goofy. I never liked that.
Yeah, which is, again, like, he throws himself like a missile at someone. Not overly complicated wrestling here. Not arguing, just pointing out.
Yeah, no. But there is a simplicity of it. You know, and I've always liked watching, like, that, again, just to go back, his matches with Walter / Gunther.
Oh.
All those matches were two dudes beating on each other. Until Dragunov just ran out of energy. It wasn't like Walter was the better. Well, I guess Walter would be the better man because he won and like wore him down.
Oh,
but
right.
It wasn't like he came out and stomped him. It was like I just didn't have enough in the tank, which they rectified the next time.
Oh, right.
So, but no, I love watching Dragunov matches. The added Van Gogh makes him a little evil, so that's kind of fun too.
Oh, in the I'll never forget. Anytime I see someone with the red contacts in, I'm just like, you're such a schmuck. Because I remember my one coworker at Panini's there in Kent. She got completely freaked out because some dumbass came in with his teeth filed down in vampire fangs and red contacts. And she was freaked out. She's like, you got to wait on this guy. And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy went this far with this gimmick. Like, I was just like, and why are you freaking out about this? Like, this is just the dumbest thing ever. Like, this guy's a fucking pansy. Like, just whatever.
Yeah. See how he did that? Yeah.
But yeah, Dragunov's intensity, I'm going to let him slide on the whole red contacts thing, unlike the guy at the bar, because I would be concerned about getting a forearm to the mush or a headbutt to the mush, or, you know, be prone on the floor and have him come down with a flying forearm. See, that's three of his moves.
But it's like, but also, have you ever been like scared of a guy in a turtleneck? No.
Christian did bust one out recently. Less scared of Christian than I am of Ilya Dragunov, though.
Yeah.
Because didn't Christian actually wrestle a match in a sleeveless turtleneck? I think.
Yeah, he's doing some goofy stuff since he turned bad. Because he posted like a picture, someone's making fun of him wearing a shirt, and he posted a picture of him shirtless, and he's ripped.
Oh yeah, you can tell. So it's like, I think you can tell that he's still in great shape. I don't know why people would question that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's not like he wears a baggy T-shirt. You know, like, he always wears a T-shirt that's kind of, you know, cut to his body. It's just like...
It's also AEW fans questioning someone's physique. So let's just land it there. Like, okay. Yeah. So.
That just seems like a weird one to question, in my opinion. So.
Well, yeah, true. But,
there are other targets to be had in AEW. I do not feel like Christian is on should be on that list.
But no, but yeah. So like, the surprise at the end, I was kind of hoping that I think he signed with AEW, but I was hoping that the mystery partner was Dimes.
Oh,
how funny would that have been? It wouldn't have made sense because, like, that was Stax's tag team partner, but
it's like, honestly, I half thought to myself, I'm like, I don't feel like I've seen, you know, he was another one of those guys that AEW is like, come on over, post-haste, and we'll feature you. He gets, like, two matches, and I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, no.
Unless he's, again, like, because all of wrestling is chronic and the whole I'm never going to tell you if someone's injured situation, you know, I suppose there's potential that he's been injured the whole time and I just don't know it. But yeah, I haven't seen Dimes, but I did kind of wonder to myself if he was possibly going to be the person. The fact that it ended up being Santos Escobar was hilarious.
Which, they're like, oh, the family, I'm like, he lost a Loser Leaves Town match. Like, they didn't end on good terms. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I thought that was another one, at least to me. They did a pretty nice job of covering that up. Because I know that at a minimum, Vic's like, hey, they must have buried the hatchet here, you know? Like,
Oh, I didn't hear that.
oh, yeah.
All right. I
Yeah.
guess that's acceptable. All right.
Well, I mean, Booker T is not pulling any of the storyline
Hey,
weight
listen,
there.
I'm done. I know he has a funny reaction every once in a while. I'm done. He's a distraction. He doesn't pay attention. He doesn't pay attention to the product. And I swear to you, he actually doesn't know most of the people's names.
As long as they're a hottie biscotti, everything's okay.
Or champagne dreams, whatever that thing
Caviar
is.
dreams.
Champagne wishes or something. And Vic goes, what are you talking about? And he's like, ha, 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 ha. I'm like, that's not an answer, by the way. Trying to do that with like a math problem. What's 5 plus 5? No, that's wrong.
That in fact is not the answer we were
That's
looking
gotta
for.
be a guy who's just in his head or on his phone just checking his bank account. Like, yep. Ah, I'm just getting paid for this.
You're making him sound like the what's up guys at this point.
He did that. He did that Tuesday. Vic was saying something and he just started making a sound and just drew it out until he ran out of breath. And I'm
yeah.
just like, what's he doing? Oh. But yeah. And real quick, speaking of what are they doing, where are Briggs and Jensen?
Fallon Henley has been in the same location. They have been rebuilding the bar, evidently.
That's fine. I wish they'd tell us that. Keanu James is gone.
No,
Wait, what?
she had a who did she lose to somewhat recently?
Gigi Dolin.
Yeah, Gigi.
That
So,
was a couple
yeah.
weeks ago now.
Yeah,
And
she's been on more recently than the other three that you mentioned.
yeah, and who's the bouncer guy and the other guy?
Oh, Hank and Tank.
Yeah, where are they at? They were gone too.
Well, yeah, and even Enofe and Blade, I
Yes.
did see them. Which fight were they break? Oh, the Wesley fight in the locker room.
Okay.
They were at least on TV. Enofe and Blade. I'm not
Okay.
quite sure who else was there. Don't remember Briggs and Jensen being there necessarily.
Yeah, it just seemed like they streamlined things all of a sudden. And I'm sorry, but Nathan Frazier's fine. Are they Brazilian, the two women that were with him on Sunday, the pre-show?
Oof,
Listen,
the Valentina
it's
Ferrois, and let me I do need to get the TV ones to remember their names because
Yeah, I'm not down with them yet. They shouldn't be on TV yet.
yeah, Valentina Ferrois and Yalisa Leon. And I guess I was okay with the fact that it has still been, at least to me, a great mystery of Electra Lopez looks really promising in what were they calling the Legado del
Yeah.
Fantasma. Looks like she's up and coming. Everything seems to be running smoothly. For whatever reason, she doesn't actually end up getting the call up to the main roster. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, they're going to have her just go on a nice singles run here in NXT. Woof.
You'd be wrong.
Woof. Just, and I guess that was the only thing to me that came out good out of this match. Even though Ferrois and Leon didn't maybe look particularly great, I do seem to think that the whole Electra Lopez Lola Vice tag team could work out.
Yeah, and
I
that
thought Vice looked pretty good in her limited time in the ring.
I just realized something. There are no more NXT women's tag titles, are there?
Correct. They got absorbed in the on the main roster.
That's right. I forgot about that. Okay. So like having a women's tag team doesn't make any sense.
Who also have joined the spirit realm since they haven't been on TV since losing to Ronda and Shayna, who promptly turned against each other like 2 weeks after that. But
yeah, that made no sense. That would have been the perfect time for Shayna. Whatever, it's fast.
Yep.
There's actually, real quick, there's an actual list of women's wrestlers that we haven't seen for months. Or weeks and months now. They're on there. Piper Niven, Candice LeRae, Indy. I think Indy's still hurt, though. I think.
That is a real possibility.
Yeah. But there's like a whole list of women that are not around right now. Because it all stemmed from Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus getting bumped from SummerSlam. Which is just like, wait, what? You're having that feud on TV? Like, huh?
It's Chris and I talked about it a bit, where the main event seems like a real mess currently, because you leave your biggest star, or at worst second biggest women's star, off your off of SummerSlam. That is a wild place to be. And then the triple threat match is just no one is likable in that feud at the current moment.
No.
And
Becky Lynch is kind of an unlikable baby face anyways. Most
who?
Of the time. Becky Lynch. Is that who you're talking about?
No, I said the triple threat match.
Who's a triple threat match?
Asuka versus Charlotte versus Bianca.
God, I totally forgot about that one. Oh my God. All right, I'm with you now.
No, I mean, I think the crowd's been behind Becky for the most part. I think that it was almost silly for them to try and pass her off as a heel, honestly, after coming back. I kind of feel like that was a little bit of a wasted time period for her.
Yeah, well, she wanted to come back as a heel. Stupid.
Didn't work out, Jim.
No.
Did not work out at all.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, to go back to NXT, I did like how Trick and Carmelo Hayes talked to each other.
Oh, like adults who were...
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice to see an adult conversation in professional wrestling. It does not happen very frequently.
Yeah, I was shocked, and I actually thought Trick was going to turn on him at the end of the night or something. Or maybe it still happens, which I hope does not happen. Because there's...
Oh.
So if wrestling is supposed to go into the future, right, and they're always talking about wrestling evolving, like AEW is constantly, we're like the evolution of, like, whatever.
Yes, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's TNA. And... So, like, New Day saying that they never want to break up. They don't want to turn on each other.
No. Right.
We don't want to do this. And it's like, okay. So it's like, yeah, why don't we start taking those steps in storytelling? Because in the ring, it's getting harder and harder to evolve without Macy possibly going backwards and slowing things down. But it's a different topic. But in the storytelling aspect, so like you said, they talked like adults. Like guys who've been together forever. Okay.
Oh yeah, and even the whole needing to hate each other thing gets played up too much in wrestling sometimes. And I know that there are definitely situations, and I obviously compare it to the UFC a lot, where in the UFC there are some people that are on the same, in the same training camp all the time that are like, hey, I'm not fighting you. Like, I'm just going to move to a different weight class so that you can be the champion at that weight class. And then there are other camps where it's just like, nah, I want to see who's better. And they fight each other and then they shake hands at the end of the day. And whoever wins, wins. You know? And that's honestly, to me, that's the way they were setting up Trick and Carmelo. And great. Like, we can have a feud and still end up being friends. Like, you don't need to be trading the barbs, although there's always a little subtext to things. And I mean, Trick already brought it up, honestly, and it's going to be hard to get around until Trick Williams wins a big match that he is, you know, the second guy.
And what he said wasn't incorrect. Everyone does look at him as a sidekick, and Carmelo goes, well, I don't. And he goes, I know you don't, but they do. And I got to change that. And it's like, yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because even his match, who did he box? Was that Wes Lee?
Oh, I'm trying to remember who that was.
That's one of the only times I remember him wrestling. And that had to be over a year ago.
He has not wrestled a ton. But, I mean, he did just have to – well, he got mauled by Bron Breakker.
Well, that's not really – I mean, you know – that kind of solidifies the whole
psychic. Second banana guy, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody in a team, you know, they want to be the number one guy eventually. They want to have their shot. I mean, even the New Day, everyone there did except for Xavier. So,
yeah, I mean, he at least got King of the Ring, but it didn't really mean anything.
Yeah, but it didn't, you know, fortunately for him, didn't matter.
No.
He did beat Bobby Lashley by disqualification. When Bobby Lashley was a champion.
Well, but, and he's okay with, I mean, he seems to be doing quite fine.
Yeah, I think he's doing okay from
them. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But no, it was like that weird adult approach, which is great. You said it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then I just wish they'd do more of that. And I'm not saying all the time tag teams can't turn on each other. Of course not.
Oh.
But more so, the more shocking thing is, like, the less it happens, the more shocking it is when they turn on each other.
Or even if you have this type of adult conversation and the turn happens 6 months from now.
Yeah, which I probably am going to guess that'll happen.
You can kind of, because they hint too heavily sometimes, and then you're like, well, why didn't they break up? And then, you know, the storyline kind of goes dormant. And then all of a sudden, the other person turns on him. You're like, huh? Like, I'm supposed to, like, seen that coming somewhat? And, yeah. Sometimes the flow isn't quite right. If you wanted to go that route, like you said, like, you don't, it doesn't always need to be a blowout feud between a tag team or a group being disbanded. It can just happen.
Yeah, it's like we got so enamored with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty.
Yes. You know? Everyone wants that moment.
Like, I'm trying to think of other tag teams that broke up, and like, everything that comes to mind is whenever Hulk Hogan had a partner. They'd always turn on him. You know, like, even the Hart Foundation didn't really turn on each other. The Bulldogs. I guess Brutus Beefcake turned on Adrian Adonis.
Did,
or was it the other way around?
I'm trying to remember, because...
it's not Adrian Adonis. I meant Greg Valentine.
Valentine?
Yeah, the tag team. Yeah, I messed up. But yeah, just like going over the history of tag teams, like, it always seems like the ones, and I'm sure I'm gonna miss a lot of them. I think one of the more famous ones for me, and this is, it's not obscure because it turned into, you know, a legitimate top heel run, was Barry Windham and Lex Luger were the NWA tag team champions, I think, and they were feuding with the Four Horsemen, and out of the blue, Barry Windham turns on Lex Luger, as they're the champions. Arn and Tully win, and he joins the Four Horsemen. And it was like, wait, what? Like, a total shocking thing. And
yeah.
I remember this day as a kid, I was like, what just happened? And then you got to wait a whole week. It was perfect. Dusty yelling at him, like, what are you doing? And all this stuff. It was great.
Yeah, I do remember, I believe, watching that happen. So
it's crazy.
Yep. But we are old.
Yeah. That was good, though.
Okay. Yep.
And I guess we need to talk about AEW still, I guess.
Well, there's at least two things that we need to talk about. Let's not start off the main event and talk some Adam Cole versus MJF, baby.
I just all right. Go ahead.
a little bit confused, I suppose, mostly from Roderick Strong's reaction. I mean, is he mad that he was wrong? Is he mad that his friend got a championship match out of a very temporary alliance? I guess it's kind of interesting that it's weird to me, I suppose, that the devil is being taught a lesson. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing in some ways because people were cheering him anyway. Yeah, my thoughts are weird and complicated on this whole thing. And it's also one of those ones where, A, they needed a main event for All In. The fact that Tony Khan's like, oh yeah, like 2 weeks away is a fine enough time to announce this. And it's just like, nah, pal, it isn't. Or is it more than 2 weeks? Is it a whole month before that happens?
Yeah, that's Labor Day weekend.
No, oh,
it's the weekend before Labor Day.
Oh, yes, it's the weekend before Labor Day. So, yeah, it's not quite a month, or it's a little over a month away then?
No, I think it's only a couple weeks, isn't it? It's only
three
weeks now.
3 weeks?
Yeah. The biggest show in wrestling history doesn't have a card, by the way.
Well, and I guess that's why we got off track making fun of Tony Khan and talking about him being butthurt by Triple H. So I suppose it's a decent place to come back to in a lot of ways. But, yeah, announcing your main event, like, I like the main event. It's worthy of that spot. They have been one of the few things that even the AEW fans have been completely behind. And this is one of those situations where it's, and since we were just talking about with Trick and Mello, kind of weird that a turn never happened here. So again, it's an interesting development. It could turn out okay, but it's also one of those ones where it's going to take some time to see what they do with MJF and Adam Cole after this to see how the story plays out. Because if they just have a match and go their own ways, it's going to be kind of weird, quite frankly.
I've said this before. The only way this works is if Adam Cole's the one that turns on him.
Oh.
That is the only way this dipshit angle works. And you just had a tease 2 weeks ago when Adam Cole handed him the belt. And then MJF didn't hit him. And he used the old, you know, they called me Jew Boy story again.
Yeah.
This time for good. For the good. He even calls himself a scumbag. He says, I'm still a scumbag. And it's like, okay, so there's this. And it's like, if they're going to go with it, fine. Make MJF the face. Everyone's like, oh my God, these guys are a great team. We love both of them. And then have Adam Cole cheat to win. I don't know. Have it all be a ruse, a setup, something where Roddy, who's upset, I guess, because Adam Cole made a new friend and Roderick doesn't like him because he thinks he's going to hurt Adam Cole, which, all right, that's fine. but to turn into like the Hulk, like calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Unless it's all a ruse.
Yeah, and it's. It's almost been presented as not a ruse.
Yeah.
You know, you would. One would think that Adam Cole had pulled him aside at some point and said, hey, I'm just trying to get this match through any means necessary. Like, chill the fuck out. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't need to be on. That's one of those ones where I guess I'm fine with that not having taken place on TV. They need to explain that, though, if Roderick Strong ends up coming out to help Adam Cole at some point.
Yeah, and that's like all part of their plan the whole time or something.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, because it's not going to be quite a double turn since MJF is already babyface already. It's more kind of like a longer term, you know, switch of positions.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know how to feel about that, just because they kind of got, MJF was getting the babyface reactions. They decided to go heel with him not that long ago. And now they seem to be shifting over to the other side again. It's like, can I just ask for some consistency here? Like, that's all I'm asking for.
Well, it's AEW, so no.
Yeah, it is all over the place.
Yeah, I no one wants to see a face-to-face matchup in the main event of a pay-per-view anymore. And I know AEW fans just cheer whoever they want to anyways, so I guess this kind of goes against what I just said, but it's the truth. They had all this time to build up, and they're just throwing shit together in the 3 weeks before this event. And I'm sorry, that's sad. We don't even have a tag team match. You know, we don't have a tag team title match. We don't have any secondary feuds. We don't have anything.
I'm trying to remember who the tag team champions are.
FTR.
Oh, that's right. That's pretty sad, considering they did actually have a very good match recently. So, yeah, I should take that back, but whatever.
Yeah, no, they do, but but then what's next? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll just throw some shit together on the Friday before the show.
I don't know. We're gonna feature the ROH Tag Champions on Dynamite on our 200th show.
Okay, so overall, as a 200th show, that show was not good. It didn't showcase the correct things about the show. It was like, it's cool that the Elite announced that they re-signed. Okay, cool. I guess maybe I need to stop looking at the lens of a WWE audience. They wouldn't care. Like, the people who go to a WWE show, unless it's the super shows, of course, are just your regular families and regular people going. Yeah, there's plenty of, you know, hardcores. God, we always seem to sit around them. And the rest of the people are like, oh, I didn't know that they had contracts. You know, they don't know this stuff. So it's like, cool, whatever. But I guess they knew they had a non-memorable show. Like RVD coming out slowly. Was it ever more apparent why Jerry Lynn never got anywhere? Ultra talented in the ring. We both know that.
No.
Those mic skills, dude.
Yep, that definitely held back his career quite a bit. Because it was okay-ish, but also boring as fuck. So, yeah. And I don't need to see RVD in the ring.
No.
He looks in great shape for whatever his age is. Right. Well, I mean, he's
jump all over you. He's wearing a double extra large shirt.
He looked like he had toned arms, which is more than I can say for FTR, honestly. So, yeah, I don't need to see him wrestle though. I don't. It's not giving Jungle Boy a rub. It's not giving the FTW Championship a rub. Honestly, the only thing good about it just came about the fact, and you might be able to help me in this. I believe ECW did not actually use Pantera's Walk for RVD. They used a cover of Walk by an Australian band named Grinspoon.
No. At first it was Walk. Then, remember they came out with the ECW CD?
Uh-huh.
That's when they changed it. Because they weren't supposed to be using all this stuff. They didn't pay any rights fees.
That's when the switch happened. So yes. It was both. Because, yeah, after that CD came out, they started using the Grinspoon cover version then.
Yes.
Okay. That's because people were like, it's his old theme music. And I'm just like, pretty sure they didn't use that. The actual, you know, actual factual. Yeah. Kind of forgot about a lot of ECW happening before we started watching.
Because, I mean, they did have some licensed music on that CD that they continued to use, but Pantera was definitely not one of them. Because didn't they even do a cover of Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck? It wasn't Prong on their CD.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm mixing up the covers.
Fuck it.
Yep. No, I am mixing up the covers, because I know that Grinspoon did that cover.
Extreme music, all right. And what an what an unappealing cover. The Sandman wrapped in barbed wire, shirtless, smoking a cigarette. I know for the time, like, fuck yeah, it's Sandman, but. It was Kilgore. Was Walk.
Walk, yes. Okay. Yep. Yep. Saw them open for Slayer, and they did not do that song. They did not do that cover for the Slayer as Slayer opener.
Cannot say I am familiar with Kilgore at all.
So, they did not last very long. So this is unsurprising. They were on an Ozfest, and they, like I said, I think they were the first, like the opener. They weren't even the middle act.
By the way, they were around from 91 to 2000, 2007, 2016 to present. They're still going.
With a couple of breaks. So, but God bless, I guess.
Yeah.
Did not realize they were still at it.
Well, hang on. I don't think it's been updated in a while. Their last release was in 2017.
Oof.
So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're out of it. If it's not... I have at least a every 4 years policy.
They had some cool songs on here by people we've never heard. They actually had, I had no idea. So there's a song for Francine, Heard It on the X by ZZ Top, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
It was by Trace Diablos. Featuring Dimebag Darrell, Rex, and Vinnie Paul.
Huh. Interesting.
As big as Pantera fans we are, I had no idea. It's literally the only time.
That's kind of funny that they didn't get the license for Pantera, but three quarters of Pantera was on another song on this very same album that they had to put Kilgore on there instead of Pantera. Hilarious.
We gotta get out of here.
Well, last thing then. I was pretty bummed that the Shida, Hikaru Shida, Toni Storm, ending was spoiled for me. So I did go into the main event knowing, well, the fact that I loved how there some of the fans that made it seem like, hey, look, the women's matches in the main event, they don't book their women poorly. And it's just like, just because it's the main event doesn't mean things aren't booked poorly. So with that out of the way, excellent match. Tony Storm finally did not have what felt like a terrible ending to a match.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, the only thing that kind of bugged me in this whole situation was not. It still doesn't feel like Tony Storm has had a good second run as champion.
No. No one's had a good run as champion since Britt Baker. In all seriousness, even Jamie Hayter, it wasn't that good.
No.
Because she played second fiddle to Britt the whole time. Regardless of what they want to say, it's the truth. And then, you know, then it was, well, she was the interim. No. That was Tony Storm.
Yeah, Tony Storm was interim, yeah.
Yeah.
So this, you know, I guess this was her official first quote unquote run is the actual champion.
Well, they took the interim tag off of her. But yes, you're right. Yeah. And I don't remember her title defenses. She beat Sky Blue or something?
Yeah, I think she beat Sky Blue. She had a handful of victories, I feel like, on TV. None of them terribly memorable. It does not help when you don't have that many premium. Well, they actually have pay-per-views, so yeah, we actually can use that word for AEW at least, or those words for AEW. Yeah, I don't really remember any of her defenses on a pay-per-view if she did have one. Yeah, like there just still isn't a lot to the women's division. Like, I really like Hikaru Shida. I think that she has improved since the pandemic era.
Yes.
I have no beef with her being champion.
And for once, I have no problem with a roll-up finish. Because with Ruby Soho and Saraya around ringside, if she hits her with her finisher, they're just going to interfere.
Uh-oh.
So it makes sense that she's going to have to hurry up and sneaky pin her because it won't give them time to react. They'll be like the rest of us. Oh, she'll kick out. Wait, she didn't kick out?
Yeah.
You know?
And even for a change, too, when one of those, I always feel like in most of those roll-ups, the referee's hand hits three and the person kicks out immediately after that. I was glad to see that the pin was held a good another couple of seconds before Shida let go. So there was no doubting the fact that she got the three count.
Yeah. And my only complaint ever is whenever someone wins, they have confetti.
Oh.
But if the champion wins, they never release confetti. So it's like, well, okay, that's very WWE. So,
yeah, I mean, you really are showing that you pre-planned.
Yeah. So, but whatever, it made the moment special, and that's what they wanted for the 200th episode, and that's fine.
Yes.
I just think for a 200th episode, they should have spent, well, they didn't advertise it, like, hugely that, hey, number 200 is this week. They mentioned it, and sure, they advertised it for the week, but they didn't ever have, like, a real build-up to 200 episodes.
Well,
they don't have build-ups to their own pay-per-views, so how the hell would I expect them to have a build-up for a TV show?
So. Yeah, that was the other one that I was laughing about when I was reading the Tony Khan butthurt comments. And he's just like, oh, this 200th episode was important to us and important to the fans. And I'm like, the fans could give two shits if you were 200 episodes, sir.
No, no one cares. As long as you're still on the air, that's all people care about.
Yeah.
As long as you're good and you're still on the air, that's all people care about.
Yeah.
Because I sat with The Walking Dead till the end. No one cared that show ended. So, by the ratings, a very small amount of people care. One real quick thing before we go.
Uh-huh.
What I was talking about was how the show wasn't planned out and not indicative of what this company is. When I know they're all on Collision, but you didn't have some of your top stars on your 200th episode, just kind of further cements the fact that they are two totally different brands, if you will. And then also, on the 200th episode of your show, you have the clown show on. You have a 50-year-old Jeff Jarrett, his wife, Sanjay Dutt, just goofing and him hawing. The only thing that was good was Jeff Jarrett telling Satnam Singh, wrong side, dumbass. I couldn't believe that. I'm hoping that was on purpose so that Satnam Singh crushes him and he just lumbers off to wherever the Giants live. Just carrying Jeff Jarrett by the hair, and we just never see him again.
The only thing positive... if you don't have anything positive to say, don't say it. I'm going to go with the old momism there. At least that match was mercifully short.
Yes. Yes.
So, I agree with the other sentiments. Mercifully short. But what was the other thing that you mentioned in there? And I'm trying to... Because we kind of talked about the deathmatch stuff. Oh, the Elite re-signing.
Yeah.
Because I guess I forgot that they were part of that clusterfuck of a matchup.
Yeah, they were the ones that were scared of Satnam Singh.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that those guys are sticking around. Like, Cody's the only one that has unfinished business in the WWE. They don't. Why would you jump, especially the Young Bucks? Not that I think that the tag division is better in AEW, but they're always going to have a say in things. So why would you leave that?
Yeah, they'll always be focal. If not top of the card, they're always going to be around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't blame them. Adam Page, I don't know, though. To be completely serious, I don't know. I don't know if that was his best move. I think he's already hit his ceiling there. And without like a real creative direction, Payman's just going to get lost again.
Oh.
He's been lost ever since he was done with the Dark Order. And even as champion, he was just kind of, you know, not floundering, but it's like, all right, he's around. And then what's funny is like the Dark Order all re-signed, and there was no press release, and they were pissed off about that, which I thought was funny.
Like, well, my problem ended up being that I saw, I think it's probably Fightful's headline about them re-signing before I saw the complaint about them not getting press about it. I'm just like, dudes, you literally have like, at worst, the second largest wrestling website putting out news about your re-sign.
Yeah.
It's kind of out there, guys. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. Your argument is not working for me.
Yeah, I whatever.
So
I guess we didn't go over SummerSlam predictions, but oh well.
Yeah, I mean we are closing in on a long one here. You know what it is. The other thing about the Elite re-signing, that's what it was that I really wanted to talk about that you triggered in my brain, and it finally came back. The fact that they mentioned possibly going to Collision. That was the only thing that made it feel like there was some type of crossover effect.
Yeah, and For me, though, that seemed just like something to pop the crowd.
Oh, and yes.
Maybe tensions are cooling, but, you know, don't try. It's like Vince McMahon, don't advertise something you're not going to promise. So.
That you're not going to go through with. Maybe. Not promise it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're getting tired.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about AEW. I could have talked about NXT and WWE way more this week. I just thought the show was boring. I don't care. I tried to be nice about it. The main event was the only good thing. I liked all the bad. Like, oh no, I'm sorry. I will never tire of Swerve Strickland. That's it. Yeah. I don't care how weird that character is, how weird the storyline is. I'm never gonna tire of it. So,
yeah, that is that's something else.
Oh, that was the other guy that bled. Nick Wayne just bled for no reason. He got hit with a picture of his dad. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, there was more of a reason for that to happen, honestly, than what happened in the match.
Oh, for sure. Yes. So. Yep. But yes, I am looking forward to SummerSlam Saturday for sure. I'll be watching it live. So.
The hope is to watch it live. We will find out if that actually happens or not. Bell Time Beer on your end, sir.
Yeah, this is from Town Brewing. I don't know. I don't think we took you there, but.
Nope.
This is by my friend Brittany. There's an internship for. I don't think. Anyways, it's called the Many Faces Program, and it's basically getting minorities. I'm losing my words, so just going with this. Basically, getting minorities into the brewing industry. I think it's for females.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, so she made her very first beer ever, and it's by Town, which is one of the bigger breweries here. It's really good. I actually got emotional because how good it was because I'm so proud of her. It's called There Goes My Baby. I'm sorry. There Goes My Baby. Jesus Christ. I just did an Adam Cole.
Baby.
Wow. Yeah. It's a Goes ale with orange and coriander.
Okay.
It is really good, and it is easy to drink. Like, real easy. It's only 4%? 4.9? It's just really good.
Oh, and, yeah. I mean, Ghosts don't tend to be heavy on the alcohol.
Yeah, no, I was super proud of her. She's one of the more unique people I've ever met in my life. She's a dark as night black chick who has a Bosnian husband who couldn't be any whiter, who has come over here and just totally adopted the American dream. Like, you know those stereotypical things you see in the movies, like they come over and everything's wonderful and you gain weight, like your hair, like that's everything Alan's done. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It really is. So I'm ending the show on some positivity, which I'm not making up. It is a beautiful thing to see. So, and that's her beer. So.
Okie doke. Fair enough. I don't have a good story like that. And I already told my one story about Sun King Brewing already out of Indianapolis as my stopover during a delayed flight situation. But this was I got a mixed 12-pack when we were out there last October. And I'm finally getting around to some of these beers. This is their All Them Llamas Hazy IPA. It is pretty daggone tasty. I don't know if anything in particular sticks out. They are saying peach, sweet melon, and apricot. Sure. I don't know if it's that that peachy. It's still a solid beer, though. And it's in one of their standard mixed six packs, so, or 12s. And I believe they have a pretty good reach, and they even have a production facility in Florida, if I'm not mistaken. So this was Sun King Brewing is one of those beers that is a little more available than most that I would promote on this here podcast. That is it for at DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.